What's up, it's Coolie China.
How many more licks will it take till I get to the Senegal? Cause I've been at it since the quarter past 8 in thick,
yo,
in a,
in a, in a. Yo, this is your boy Ricky Rich.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl.
This is Quest F. Thank God. All the stars. All the hits. Yeah, I love you. This is. Majibu's Radio.
Yo, what's up, good people? We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Are we back? Is it the first time? I'm not sure. How does it qualify? Well, it's still Tembe and Esme right here on what is now Madiba's podcast. Mm. Listen, it's the extended cut, ladies and gentlemen, and an extension of what was our show, Radio Deep. I go by the name of Tembe Lihle, Tembe X Masuku, the one and only hip-hop connoisseur.
Okay.
I mean, listen, the elder statesman, the OG himself, and you're listening to the lovely lady, lady. Who are we listening to on my side?
To Esmeralda Ramsey, the one and only Chris Kopka can say ever do it like me. I haven't said that in a while. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's been a minute. We're it's back. Lovely to be back.
Yeah.
And if you're new to this, well, you're in for a surprise.
Let's go. Let's go. No, it's going to be fun times. I think this format, of course, is not like radio.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to enjoy just having conversations. And just, you know, discussing the weeks that it's been of just hip-hop madness. It's just been a lot of things happening in our culture. And, you know, we love hip-hop. If you listen to Radio Deep, you should know no one loves hip-hop more than us.
Real.
So we're really excited to get into this. The first thing we're going to do, you know what I'm saying, is keep it current with this week in hip-hop history.
Yes.
Esme, what are we talking about?
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Miss Lauryn Hill. Her birthday was on the 26th of May.
What a legend.
And we just thought, nah, man, let's just reflect on what she's done for the culture, for the game at large, right?
Definitely, yeah. She's amazing, man. I think, of course, like she has her controversies, you know, appearing late to her concerts and this, that, and the other. But I think when people remember Lauryn Hill, they'll always remember the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which is a perfect album, and then also her time with the Fugees, you know, and
was also
just
a big moment.
Come on,
now.
So, and I think
and
she's
her
arguably,
nominations and wins.
Exactly,
come on,
like
let's not
five
sleep
Grammys.
On the accolades.
Of course, the accolades were impeccable for a black woman at that time with natural hair.
Yes,
proudly black. The things she did for all the rap female artists that came after her, and you know her legacy is impeccable. And we need to honor this woman, regardless of her controversies and her not giving us an album in over like 20
years. We've been waiting.
Yeah.
Now we're just like, it is what it is. But you know, she is in a upcoming musical.
Wow.
And yeah,
really?
Yeah, my friends have been talking about it all the time. Like my friend is just trying to get me into listening to the soundtrack.
I can't wait to
and
see that.
Yeah, same. And I'm not a musical fan, so I'm like, if Lauryn is in it, then I'm on it.
Okay. And last time she was in a movie, is it a movie or like a theater musical? Are we
I think it's like a theater musical.
Okay, but
I'm
last time she
sure.
did something similar, I'd say it was Sister Act. I don't know if you've watched Sister Act.
Yes, oh my goodness, Tim, you think I'm that young?
Am I aging myself? Okay, I'm grateful that we know the classic.
Yes.
With Whoopi Goldberg. But like she blew my mind in that movie. She was so talented. No auto-tune before anything. She'd just sing in the class and you're like, this is her voice for real. And just, man, like her talent is undeniable. And I think for me, when I look through her catalog, the songs I loved the most, like X Factor, you know what I'm saying? Or Everything, not Everything is Everything, yeah.
Yes.
Like there's so many classic bangers from Lauryn Hill.
Okay, what? top five, Lauryn Hill.
Woo, that's a tough question.
Come
Stop.
On now, you can do it.
You're killing me. I'd say, yeah, Everything is Everything.
Okay. That's your number one.
Nothing really matters. I'd say, yes, Everything is Everything is my number one.
Really?
Everything is Everything is my number one.
Okay.
And then we have Nothing Really Matters is number two.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm more with the sensual, slower songs of hers.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't forget X Factor. And I can't forget, Ooh la la la,
it's the way na 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 na.
Ooh la la la, and then of course, killing me softly with. Come on now. So yeah, that's my top five. Is the two Fuji La songs.
What about X Factor? You literally.
I think I'd have to kick it out because of like these other bangers. You know, she's that good. There's too many bangers. What about you?
Okay, my top five. Okay, number five has to be. Okay, I'm gonna put X Factor there.
Okay,
and then the one she has with Bob Marley.
Oh, nice. Yeah, underrated gem right there. Underrated gem.
Then, how many mics? From the Fuji's? Yeah,
come on, yo, that you're digging deep, huh? I see you, hip-hop fan, for real. I love that.
And then, I got a fine peace of mind.
Wow. That's a beautiful one, yeah.
That's actually my number one. Okay, wow. So number two, yeah. We're going to go with doo-wop thing.
Oh, doo-wop is also...
Yeah.
It's amazing. She has too many Zion.
Woo. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Yes. That's my number two, actually.
Okay.
My number two.
Nah, that's dope. That's dope. Nah, we love Lauryn Hill, and she's just impeccable. The reason I love the songs I love by her, those songs I listed, I think, is she was already doing what has become acceptable in our generation, rapping and singing.
Yes.
And doing both of them so well.
As like, a woman of color in the game.
Exactly. We didn't even, we're not discerning it. You know, a lot of people give Drake the credit for that, but Lauryn Hill did it 20 years before Drake, in that she was already like mastered both of those mediums, and the way she'd blend them so effortlessly, you wouldn't even tell if she's rapping at some point or singing.
Yeah,
it just flows so she was so methodical in her approach, and I think I think there will never be another Lauryn Hill, unfortunately.
True.
Which is how the industry is designed right now. We've complained about this. We had a conversation on Radio Deep about this.
Yeah.
And how, unfortunately, the female rappers today, the content. No, I love the songs. The songs are pops.
Okay, who's your favorite female rapper?
Right now. From the young ones, right?
Yes, from not the young overall. Ones.
Okay, from the young ones, I like Lado. Right, but it's
you
like
Lado.
Yeah, I do. She hard. Really? She hard. Yeah, for sure. Listen. So
I'm
all
this so
to
surprised.
Say, all this to say, they hard. Right, the beats are hard. The flows are hard. I like Lado because she's just authentic. She sounds like a hood girl, hood chick. She ain't even hiding it. But like, I don't know, man. I think they're all too similar for me as well in the content they're espousing. Like, the content. I don't need to mention the content.
Yeah,
so I think
yeah.
That's why I'm a bit afraid that there might not be a Lauryn Hill again, because she was so pro-black, so like Christian, so like conservative. These days, actually, if you don't sell sex, you don't sell at all.
True.
You know, so that's my fear with the industry and hip-hop now and what it's done to female rappers.
But I also
I don't know if
think...
you have a comment on that.
Yeah, I also think we can't overlook other female artists who kind of do what Lauryn Hill is doing. I mean, Shay Noir.
Okay.
Rapsody.
Okay.
I mean, she's more on the rap side of things and doesn't really sing like that, but in terms of conscious rap like that, I think she's also
ma'am.
pushing, and I think didn't she win an award recently?
Oh, Rhapsody at BET.
Yes,
BET for sure.
And she's been in the game,
she's been in the industry, but that's the thing, can we even count her as this generation?
I think we should.
Okay. I feel like she's
because she's getting her flowers now.
Okay true she's likely I think she's Kendrick's gen. I think she's
true.
Kendrick, Cole and Drake's gen. I'm talking like 20 early 20 somethings, and just how the majority of them, of course, they are like Shay Noir, or like there's also these girls, there's the girl who works with Smino now, she was viral on TikTok. Just get her name. But like there's upcoming artists who are trying to bring it back to that feel of like we don't need to. Maybe Dochi is also in the mix.
Yes, how can we forget
maybe
Dochi
is in the
I
mix of
Dochi.
Like conscious female rap, but yeah man, I'm rooting for female rappers all together, and I'm thinking we should go back to listening to Lauryn Hill as female artists so that we can be inspired. Man, she set the template. She won 5 Grammys. It's too many things. It's too many things.
Yeah,
let's keep it there. Let's keep it there. I mean, we can talk about Lauryn Hill
all day.
The whole day. But let's be careful and hold it right there.
Yeah, so you gave your top five. I gave my top five.
Yes, ma'am. Let's move it on.
Yeah. All right. So then we also have our plug-in segment. This is where we let you know what songs have dropped in the past week or so. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So on the 21st of May, let me put you on real quick. On the 21st of May on Wednesday, Burna Boy featuring Travis Scott on Ta-Ta-Ta.
Okay. Big collaboration.
Right?
Huge, because they're both superstars. And I think I think to hear Travis Scott on Afrobeats type, an Afrobeats type situation, yeah. You know, yeah. You are, that's how you don't like that?
I don't.
Really?
Why not? Like, stick to your niche, man. stick to what you know.
No, but come on, Travis Scott has always said he's not a rap. Like a rapper, he's not just a rap artist, he's just an artist, right? And so
yeah.
For him, he's like, he's tried different genres before. So did you not like him on that song with The Weeknd and Bad Bunny? Remember, that was also not hip-hop.
Yeah I don't know, man. I like the Travis Scott that we know, that okay. you showed us, you know, okay. in the beginning. And there's nothing wrong with just being a rapper. Like, everyone is trying to be an artist, you know.
Yeah.
Let's stick to what we know. You understand? I understand you want to, like, dabble, and you want to, you know.
You know, Americans are on this, we're trying to be African vibe right now. Have you noticed?
Right?
With Amapiano, they love it. With, like, Afrobeats, they're all featuring the Afrobeats artists. Mm. So they're trying to maybe claim back their identity as well. Like, I have always been African, just that I didn't know how to express it.
Okay.
And now I have Burna Boy inviting me. Come on. I'm going to, you know, try be my African self on this song. Okay, let's get into what else dropped that hopefully you liked.
Yes. So on the 23rd of May, Friday, Brother Cooper released an 8-track album, which is titled Before the Worst.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
I know Tato, our producer and also our co-presenter. She's also been bumping
the
album.
That's awesome. I'll listen to Brother Cooper. I wouldn't lie and say I've listened to him before. But I'm excited to go into this one. I'm really excited. I've been seeing the streets buzzing about it. It's fascinating how an artist cannot be on your radar at all. Mm-hmm. And then just one project, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about it.
On it. Thanks to TikTok.
Where was I? Exactly. You're like, where was I? But that's awesome. Shout out to Brother Cooper.
Mm. Next up, we have Machine Gun Kelly, who dropped a single titled Cliché. Do you still listen to Machine Gun Kelly?
No, I don't. listen. I don't know, but after the Eminem battle...
Yes, after that, like, everything just went downhill,
yeah,
man.
And he left the genre, too, so I was a bit worried, like, after hearing... Because I had tried his music post-Eminem battle, expecting to hear hip-hop. Here I go, playing the song. I'm like, yo, there's guitars.
He's now,
what's happening? Yeah, Travis, exactly. So all those new, like, he was trying this new, like, aesthetic and this new genre. And I'm like, okay, what happened to Kelly who rapped? You know what I'm saying?
You see what I'm talking about? Sticking to what you showed us.
Some people might not like, that jarring change. Like, he just straight up left. He just went, oh, I'm now a rock star. And it was so I don't know. Maybe he's back to form with Cliché. And yeah, I'll give my opinions. Yes, on this Cliché record for sure when I hear it.
Okay, Plaque Boy Max also released an EP titled Atlanta featuring artists like Flo Millie and Quavo.
Hard. Yeah. Atlanta is still at the top, unfortunately, in the States when it comes to rap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their music just keeps going viral.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Plaque Boy Max before I heard the songs on Instagram going viral, TikTok. So it's like, and it's, of course, it's trap, right? So... It's not for everybody, but I'd say even if you're not if you're not the most trap guy, if you're at the club, bro. In the club.
Yeah, it's a banger. Exactly. We all fam.
So like, it's the type of music, they know what they're making. Yeah. That's why he called it Atlanta. They're making music that
club
represents their club culture, their, you know, their town, their a state. So shout out to Plaque Boy Max. We also we have a couple of other artists who dropped this week.
True.
I've been listening to a couple of people, maybe less known than usual. Mm-hmm. So I'm part of the Hip Hop Society here at Madiba's, NMU. And, you know, I'm proud of my young cats. We actually had, I have to plug this.
Yeah,
we had
a
successful, Hip Hop Society event where we hosted, 3-on-3 basketball, a tournament. We had performers, we had food trucks. It was just a success. We were really grateful to everyone who pulled up. Mm-hmm. Esmeralda didn't pull up, but...
Dude, I was writing a test on Monday, so I was like, I want to go so bad, but
it was so fun. Hopefully you come to the next one.
I hope so. I really do.
Because we were so...
It was a success. It was
such
really
a fun
good.
Time. Yeah. But all this to say, there were artists performing songs that
no,
they were releasing.
And the week before that, I think, the previous game, when we had the dancers come out of from course, the Hip Hop Society. It looked so cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now we're trying our best to like make hip hop more than just rap with our society, because it is. And so like putting on dances, it's a culture. Basketball is hip hop culture.
Skating,
exactly. So
fashion,
we make sure all our events incorporate more than just, you know, rappers and rap music. Mm-hmm. But talking about rap music, we had artists last week when the event was last week. Last week. Yo, my mind. These exams are on my mind, hey! Chief. Yeah. My mind is only on one thing right now. But yeah, like, so we had the performances. They released their songs. We have Black Drop, who released his song this week. Please check him out. It's BLK. He kept spelling his name. I won't forget.
That's how you know.
Yeah, he was like, no. Give me my props.
My flowers.
Yeah, give me my flowers. We had Black Drop dropping his song. He performed for us. That was a really dope song. BLAQDRO. PP Black Drop, please check him out on Spotify. Really dope artist. We had MSK Kaysen dropping Ses Figile. We had a couple of other artists. We had Black Drop was dope though. I remember Black Drop. We had Young Eminent dropping All I Ever Wanted. Please check that out. That was a really fire song, really fire performance. And then we had Slate as well. Slate the Greatest dropped the song, which is also on Channel O. It's called Chini Fondini. The video's out as well.
Yes.
It's amazing, man. These young people are doing amazing things. He has a song with his mates with a video on Channel O. There's cameos from the Hip Hop Society. It's just a fun vibe. Shout out to Slate. Shout out to Black Drop. Shout out to MSK. Shout out to Young Eminent. Those are the ones I'm going to plug right now. If you're listening to this and you're from the Hip Hop Society, relax. And I didn't plug you. You know what I'm saying? We're going to plug you next time. We had Kwela as well. Please check out Kwela. Kwela, I just didn't get the name of his song, but Kwela also performed that day. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm forgetting one more guy who performed, but if we haven't plugged you this week, we're sure to plug you on the next hip hop segment, hip hop edition of Extended Cut. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What
That's
about
nice.
You, Esme? What you listening to right now?
What am I bumping?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been listening to a lot of hip hop recently. Really? Like, I feel like I don't know. I've just been in my feels.
Okay.
For like a couple of, I don't know,
so
the month or so.
Like R&B then?
Yes.
Okay.
Like a lot of R&B.
Okay.
I was listening to, wait, let me just quickly look it up. Listening to a lot of old R&B, like music my mom would play, like Betty Wright.
Okay. That's deep.
Yeah, Betty Wright.
Deep in your bag.
Irma Thomas. Savannah Christina.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to her a lot. And Masego.
Nice. No, those are all great artists nonetheless. Masego is also somewhat hip-hop, can't we say that?
No.
He does bring hip-hop artists a lot on his music. He takes a lot from us. Stop.
Masego, he does, but is he a part?
He is. I think he's part of the culture. Stop. I take Masego. I'm taking Masego for hip hop. He's not in the
R&B. Where are you gonna put him? Like lofi rapper.
He's a rapper singer. He's a rap singer. He's like on his Drake vibes. You know, he's on his Drake. He's on his Lauryn Hill. He's on his Lauryn Hill. You know? Come on. I'm gonna take because that flow he has, like, let's for instance on Navajo, the flows he's pulling off the industry in the party.
That's a rap. Yeah.
He's a rapper, bro. You guys are missing out on Masego.
But he's singing.
He's singing as well, but it's like, what's singing and rapping these days? You can mix.
You say Black is also a rapper? I mean, he actually is. He is. Okay.
Exactly.
True.
So Masego, I think, is more hip-hop. He takes a lot from the genre of hip-hop.
Okay.
And, of course, he blends it with jazz because he's a saxophonist. But, like, I think he's just that, he's just that creative that we kind of miss what he's doing. We're like, what genre is this? Then, of course, he gets into R&B. I won't deny that as well. That was basically, you know what I'm saying, the plug-in segment.
Yes.
We're going to plug you with more great hip-hop music as the shows keep coming, as the podcast episodes keep coming. So keep on the lookout for us. Unfortunately, I might not be a part of it, but we'll discuss that later. Don't worry about that. But there'll always be a hip-hop show here on the Extended Cut, and we're excited to always share that with you. Esme, what are we doing next?
Next up, we have the latest scoop. Okay, so if you're true to this, and you know how this usually goes on Radio Deep, you know, with the latest scoop, we basically tell you, like, what has been popping in hip-hop culture.
Yes, ma'am.
in like the past month or so. We've been gone for a minute.
Yeah, we've
been
gone for a while. But we'll try our best to just catch up on everything that's happened since then.
Yeah, so we have like a lot to unpack.
Okay.
Hey Neighbor Festival.
Ooh.
Yes.
Guys, 2,900 for tickets is some wild business, ne?
Like
in this economy. Like as a student in this economy, the fact that I have to take my rent money.
Sell the fridge
so I can go see. And of course, I love the artists on the lineup. I love the headliners. Doja is a great headliner. Doja Cat is a great headliner. We have
Central C.
Take your time, Mr. Rush. Yeah, Central C as well. Cinch, they just announced Cinch just, I think, a day ago. But I think they started with Leon Thomas, which excited a lot of us because, as you said, you love R&B, so you should be excited about that. Are you going?
Let me answer that question on Monday. I hope so.
Yeah.
I actually want to go to Rocking the Daisies because Jessie Reyes is coming.
Oh, nice.
So I want to go there, but I don't know how.
Here's my question. Would you be able to afford both? Knowing the prices of both of these shows, would you be able to go to Hey Neighbor all the way in Pretoria? Let me say this. You need to first fly as well.
No, I have family there, so you know.
Okay, they take care of the flights.
Cash on someone's
couch.
Asking,
no, it's not about the place, it's about the expenses. Think about that. We're in Gqeberha, the ticket is 2.9. Mm-hmm. Plus, I gotta take R1,000 flight or 2,000 rand flight. Yo, these people are killing us, guys.
Take the bus.
The dedication to Leon Thomas, Doja Cat, and Cinch. I have to take the bus. But if I had the money, I'd definitely attend. For those who are going, we envy you. We envy you so much. It's a 2-day festival. It's our own Coachella type vibe.
Yeah, they cut it from 3 days to 2 days now. So
I think because of the expenses, people by the third day were broke.
True. It's actually they should consider, lowering their prices. Because
think about it. You've already paid 2.9. It doesn't mean, I don't know if it means complimentary drinks even.
No.
Exactly. So now I need to also have money for drinks and my, my tent has to be full of food.
Yay.
I have to be chilling with the mates. We're eating. Come on, too much is happening in that 2 days. It's 48 hours. Come on, guys. Come on. But I'm actually extremely proud of us in South Africa for attracting these artists enough. Because they actually work at a loss when they come to South Africa, most of them. Did you know that?
Yeah,
because of the exchange rate. So essentially, let me give Hey Neighbor a little bit of a
backstory.
Backstory as well as an explanation as to their pricing. The reason it's even 2.9 and why I understand actually, bruh, these guys in the States incur less costs to host their concert. A concert is an expensive thing, guys. Hosting concert means you have stage hands, you have this, you have that. Venue, right? You need to book the venue, pay for the venue, right? So what happens is whenever they are performing internationally, and a lot of artists complain, like a lot of South African, not even artists, South Africans complain about their favorite artists not coming to us on their tour dates, right? Have you noticed that we're hardly booked on tour dates?
Yeah.
It's because we're like a third world country, first of all. Secondly, we're expensive to book. What does this mean? Even if we paid Leon Thomas what is a lot of money to us, it would still be nothing to him. It would be peanuts to him compared to what he got paid at the States for a lower tier festival. Let me give you an example. If you pay Leon Thomas 500,000 rands, which is something any South African artist would go, what?
Yo,
you're paying me that
bonus.
Much. Yeah, exactly. You're like, you'd be excited as a South African artist because that means a lot to us in this country. To Leon, he has to deduct 19 of that. 19, like it's 19, it's $1 to 19 rand. Think of that. So meaning that money is reduced by a 19th, like 19th of its amount goes down. Meaning by the time he gets to the state, that 500K is like his pocket change for him. So meaning they've tried their best to, first of all, book these artists, price the tickets reasonably, which is still reasonable for some, 2.9. Pay them the money they'd be paid in the States in rands. You understand?
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. So, and also now they're bringing their own. They have to pay for not only for Leon, they're paying for his band.
Yes.
They're paying
for the entire lights. Team.
Yeah.
To come through.
Imagine this festival. So I think we should be really understanding of the pricing and the fact that they take these risks, because every time we book international artists, we actually take risks ourselves. Like, will we get enough of a crowd to justify
to even
paying
give
this?
You the props you need, right?
For sure.
Okay,
sure.
But like, what do you think of South Africans saying that, oh, because these international artists are falling off, they're coming to SA all of a sudden?
Really?
People have been saying that.
That's wild.
People
business.
Have been saying that.
I wouldn't say that. Would we say that? Which ones, for instance? Because Leon Thomas is actually on the rise.
Yeah, right? He's on the come up.
I don't know. I think the ones that are booked, at least by Hey Neighbor, none of them are falling off.
True.
But I can't understand when people talk about like the old school R&B cuts.
Don't do that. And someone canceled. And I was like, oh, baby girl, what did we do to you?
Yeah.
I was hoping
the old school
that I could
R&B
come to your concert.
Are a bit not as relevant in their own country,
don't
unfortunately.
Say that.
It's true. Let me tell you now, Boyz II Men is not filling up an arena in the States, bro. Stop. No offense.
You're such a hater.
No, I'm just telling you what, the industry has changed so quickly that people don't even value singing like that. Like singing. Mm-hmm. They were like genuine singers, like a cappella, like vibes.
Yeah, doo-wop vibes.
Exactly, doo-wop vibes, exactly. So it's like, now we don't value that. We value rage. We want to dance. We want to... Exactly. So now imagine, I'll make love for 2 hours.
Like, why not?
It won't fill up in the States, bro.
Especially
with
those, should book them.
With those YNs in the States. There's no way. But here in South Africa, our parents and our older siblings will definitely go to Emerald, you know, Empress Palace and watch that. It's just... It's also not a classy thing to say they've fallen off, that's why they're coming here. I'd say, like every artist has like a different era, and they're in the era where they are able to now come to South Africa. Because they were not even the ones who choose. By the way, whenever we get offended by Beyonce not putting us on a tour date, it's her management choosing those dates. She's not the one who's choosing. They literally calculate costs, for each country. Like, okay, is it viable? Is there a big enough stage even for Beyonce?
Yeah.
It's things like this. And so when they realize, yo, dog, Beyonce's going to lose a lot of money coming here, they're not going to book her here. That's nothing that we can do unless we decide to tell her, we'll pay you 3 times as much, B. Come. We're going to pay 5K for tickets. She's not going to come. The reason why they tour Europe a lot, mind you, if you've noticed, there's a lot of European dates for most of these American artists. The pound is strong, guys. The pound and the euro are strong. So it's like they're going to get even more possibly money by touring that side. So until our president, we're not a political, you know. Show, but until our country does better when it comes to our economy, and also we need to start exporting our things as expensively as American exports theirs. What do I mean? Our entertainment, we're not really taking it seriously, and it's a big export. Like, I think most of our money is now starting to come from our music and our entertainment and tourism, but we haven't priced it at that level. Americans sell us their culture at a very high price. You understand? They value their culture. We just give it away. We just go overseas and you perform what is one of the biggest hits in the world, bruh, at a nightclub. You can't do that. Like, you can't be getting paid nightclub prices to perform what people want to see. These Europeans want to see you. Hike up your prices, make it seem more valuable, because it is. It's like, Beyonce is not about to perform. That's why she doesn't come. Unless she gets booked at like F&B or like a 30,000 seater. She's not going to perform at Empress Palace, bro.
True.
But we take whatever when we get invited.
Yeah, but amen.
Like, I need to be in Europe, bro.
I need to see that person.
Yeah, so there's a lot to that, the politics of like booking. And shout out to Hey Neighbor for even getting us 3 superstars like this, you know.
How many did we have last year?
I think we had only 2 headliners last
year. Yeah, we had Kendrick.
Yeah.
Khaled, I think.
Yeah, Kendrick and Khaled. I'm not sure.
Only.
It. I think there were more, actually. I'm wrong.
Yeah, there were more.
I just didn't go, of course, so I don't remember.
He's just salty, guys. Don't mind him. He's just salty.
Hey, neighbor, we need free tickets. We're media, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
We're
exactly.
media. We'll come back and discuss from an objective point of view.
Give
come
our
on.
Feedback.
Exactly.
Sprinkle. Next up, we have the Diddy case. It's supposed to be like an 8-week-long trial,
yes,
I think.
Ma'am. Yes,
we're
ma'am.
In week 4 or 5. Yeah. We're like halfway there.
Yeah, we're halfway there. The first four weeks were tumultuous,
yo,
to say
tough.
The least. I feel bad for Cassandra Ventura, who's known as Cassie in these streets. Yeah, man, like, I feel bad for her because she had to essentially, in her testimonies, reveal a lot of private stuff.
Yeah, in front of him also.
Like, imagine the person who perpetrated the abuse is just looking at you as you speak like, about this stuff, the intimidation. But I think we can speak from it from a place of, yeah, hip-hop. Like, what does this mean for our culture? Like, you know, because as much as, yeah, we don't want to, you know, outrage any of you with our own opinions. We all have opinions on what's happening with this Diddy case. But I think factually we had testimonies from Cassie, from Kid Cudi.
From her former best friend.
Exactly, from her former best friend, from Dawn Richard.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, man, I think those are all people, fascinatingly, who've been in this industry, who've, who've, you know, built up this music industry of ours, and they were just abused. And how do we respond as, you know, hip-hop lovers, hip-hop fans and artists? Like, do we let this happen again? Why did it happen in the first place? How is the system designed that young women like Cassie can only get opportunities if they date the label exec?
Because
it felt like that for me from her testimonies. It felt like Diddy was trying to say, yo, you can only be the Cassie, like, I can only make you Cassie if we hook up, right? That was already the red flag she should have seen there. Like, why is my boss trying to hook up with me?
Yeah, and that was like 10 years ago, you know. She was also on the come up like that. And,
yeah,
you
that
know,
pressure.
Women have been complaining. Women in the industry, they have been complaining about, oh, unfortunately, the only way for me to be seen is if I'm with someone who is in the limelight like that, so that I can get into the limelight. So
that's so sad.
The fact that, like, yo, it took her 10 years to, you know, finally speak up and gather all the... I feel like she was really strategic with it when she even filed the lawsuit. Yo, I think it was like 65 pages, 60 pages. Yo, so she has just been gathering, gathering, and she knew when to, like, strike at the right time. Because if she messed up once,
He's such a powerful man. I think that's also something we don't consider. It's like, because I don't think we can wrap our minds around billionaires. Like, what's a billionaire, guys? Most of us don't encounter one on a day-to-day
basis. And how heavy
basis.
Is that crown?
Exactly, right? And so for me, it's like, did he... built most of what this industry is.
True.
We can never escape that. Like, without Diddy, I'd argue 40% of what the industry is today would not exist without Diddy. So now that's the dilemma. It's like, we see all he's done for the culture, but he's hurt so many people. You know, he maybe felt now justified. It's like, look what I do for the music and look what I do for black people. I can have free course. That's a crazy life to live. And it's like, we should always hold people accountable. I think it should be even the standard from now on. Diddy should not be allowed to do what Diddy did what he did for almost 30 years. Since the 90s,
yeah,
he's been doing
man.
This.
Yeah, we had Notorious B.I.G. We had all these cool cats, man, and just for...
Yeah, it's really tough.
Just for things to go down here like this, man.
And for people to hide this stuff for so long, you know?
Out like of his, fear.
Out of fear, for sure. Like, for me, it's like we should never have hip-hop execs like this ever again. We should make sure as a culture, like, we do not let people misuse their power in this way. We should not also... actually, when we hear things, we should start believing the abused, the victims. We should start believing victims, because there's this thing where we keep denying the victim till it's too obvious. It's like, now people believe Cassie, but the whole video had come out, what, last year?
Yes.
Yeah, and people were still like, nah, Diddy is a good guy. He was just angry, making excuses for abuse. It's crazy. So for me, it's like, yeah, man, I think hip-hop culture can be extremely patriarchal, toxic masculinity. A lot of the lyrics too used to unfortunately perpetuate what has happened
and
to Cassie.
Misogynistic.
And
misogynistic.
Exactly. So imagine now you're rapping along to, I'll beat, if a girl talks back, I'll do this, I'll do that.
Yeah, I was listening to Notorious B.I.G., one of his songs, right, from an album. And I was like, wow, if this song came out this year, Mans would be cancelled. Because, how were people listening to the song and condoning it without knowing? And just saying, ah, nah, man, it's just the song. It's not like I'm like that. But,
exactly.
It was hard for me to listen
to. I think it's just it's changed everything in this case. And also makes us look back on the culture back then, like, we should have never allowed that to happen. We should have never let the music artists to release music like that. Then we just dance to it. It's crazy. You know, we should have asked questions like, yo, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean smack her in the face?
Exactly.
I was so crazy. I was perplexed, man.
Exactly. And so that's why a certain woman would even accept the abuse, you know? So for me, it's like we pray for all the people involved, the families involved. And when we also say, you know, we don't take a side. We just want to have justice. Yes. Right? That's all we need from everything. This case is if, and what's worse, this is a RICO case. It's not just about abuse of Cassie, which is clear, obvious that he abused Cassie. Mm-hmm. It's also a RICO case. And so, you know, for us, we need to also be on the side of justice and say if he committed the crimes that he's being charged with right now in this RICO case, which is human trafficking, something you're unaware of as a country that faces GBV. You know, just recently there was a story. It's just too much in South Africa.
It's a lot. It's too much. Ach, man. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Yo.
Yeah, it's so bad. Olorato, rest in peace to Olorato. Rest in peace to all the women who are being abused. Rest in peace to all the women who've been abused, unfortunately, to a point of death.
Yeah.
Right? Because they couldn't speak out. They were afraid of their partners. And I'd say every woman should be bold enough when they see someone trying to abuse them, even mentally, you know, manipulation, bold enough to call it out before it gets to a place. And even, like, be able to
discern when this is wrong and not be like, oh no, this person loves me. And you know, it's so easy to be like, you should have done and said this, but when you're in the situation not knowing.
And then men as well, stop hurting women. You know, like men should stop being entitled to women's bodies and perpetrating abuse and trafficking and all these things. It's so evil, and there's nothing to be proud of when you hurt a woman. And then, like, also other men should hold men accountable. Like, imagine if the men in Diddy's camp whenever they'd see any sort of abuse with Cassie, had went, bro, I'm not going to be your friend if you continue to do that. And I'm going to report you. But think about it. I think a lot of this happened because men didn't hold Diddy accountable.
Accountable, yeah. You know, especially his team.
His team, people his looked rich friends. Away. They looked away, right? So if we're not afraid to lose money and connections and as men and be like, yo, bruh, or even like say, I'm going to hurt you if you continue doing this. Like, it should be that deep. Where we're like, yo, if you beat a woman, I'm going to beat you up. There's no way you can be putting hands on women in front of us and we should just all chill because you're rich and powerful.
Yeah, and that's why some people, like his assistant, I think they quit when it happened. I think, especially after the video came out. I forgot, but he was on the stand recently.
Yes, recently. Just last night, I think the day before,
Yeah. And he was like, yo, the moment I saw that video, I was like, amen, I'm out.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that's too late, bro. You can't say, another thing, a lot of people can't say they only knew about Diddy's abuse after the video. I don't believe that's the case. If you chill around someone every day, you feel the tension between them and their partner. You see and a lot of people said Diddy was actively doing this. It wasn't like he was hiding it. And we see it also on his TV shows. There was this making a girl group show on, I think it was on MTV, where he made Danity Kane. I don't know if you remember Danity Kane. Yeah, now I'm aging myself for real. Okay, I've aged myself, guys. But there was basically Making the Band was the name of the show. And Diddy was just as aggressive on that show. And we're like all thinking it's a joke. And he was aggressive to the girls, bruh. Like, I need more. You guys can't, you know, like swearing at them and all this. And it was seen as, oh, tough love. Diddy's just trying to make them stars. But like, even in those scenarios, we should look back at that and be like, we should have never accepted that. The signs were there. Yeah, the signs were there. As a society, as a culture, we should have all called Diddy out. We should all have held him responsible. We should have all protected Cassie's and other people he's abused. But we failed. And if we keep only looking at him, it will happen again because it's us. We all failed. It wasn't just Diddy who failed. As a people, as a culture, we failed. And so for me, from now on, honestly, I don't play that, guys, especially for my favorite rappers. If they talk about abuse on their songs, I'm done with that stuff. I'm not listening to that music, like abusive things or like even misogyny. And and there's a lot of it. That's why I don't listen to most of these young people, because like, we can't perpetuate that anymore. It's not a joke anymore. It's not fun. After Cassie, it's not fun. After this situation, it's not fun at all.
Absolutely not.
That's
what
heavy.
What a sensitive, heavy topic.
Yeah, we're praying for everyone involved. Definitely. And may justice be served. Talking about dark things, unfortunately, we still have another one. And another case of GBV, another case of violence against a woman,
Yes.
And people are now trying to excuse it. They're saying it's not really what happened. It's false.
And someone else did it. And yeah, now it's like, I'm so disappointed. What is going in the culture?
Honestly,
what
hip-hop,
is going on?
We don't like black women in hip-hop. It's so sad. Really? What are we talking about? We're talking about Tory Lanez, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the superstar, the rap star, I wouldn't say he's a superstar, but he was growing to become one, unfortunately, yeah. before he made one of the worst decisions any man can ever make by shooting his then partner, who was Megan Thee Stallion. Unfortunately, this man just got stabbed in prison.
Yeah.
14 times.
14 times.
And unfortunately, the Shade Room just released the video. Very graphic, very painful.
Wow.
Whew, it's a lot, guys. And I think for me, all of this is sad. It's extremely sad. Guys, here's another thing. When you take a position on one side, it's not that you support the other, right? Mm. So I don't support Tory Lanez being stabbed. However, I still do believe he shot Megan Thee Stallion.
Really?
Yes. From his yeah. own testimony, bruh. Another thing, he did not once during his court, his trial, not once mention how, hey, this is actually who shot Megan.
Mm.
He did yeah, not exactly. accuse like, anybody. Yes. His defense was at no point aimed at Kelsey. No point. Yes. Right? So now to bring this up after you're arrested and like it feels a bit convenient. Oh yeah, it was actually Kelsey, guys. I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't you defend yourself in the very moment where you're about to get
yeah, and yeah, I'm convicted. Sure, I mean, Megan would have also, if it was Kelsey, mm-hmm. she would have been like, okay, but this is the person who mm-hmm. did it. Like, why are you saying exactly. you tried to protect someone
exactly.
all of a Sunday exactly. when things are going downhill in prison? Exactly.
And also, it was, guys, another thing we need to, the legal system, we kind of take it for granted. There's a lot that goes into convicting someone. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of evidence that's looked at, a lot of testimonies from witnesses. They don't just convict you. They don't just go True. From, oh, you shot Megan, we believe you did, go to jail.
Yeah, even if there's like evidence, incriminating evidence of you, they will still have to
exactly
go
they go through the process. Exactly. Let's give an example. Diddy.
Yes.
By all accounts, Diddy looks guilty.
Yeah, like right? it doesn't matter like whether they were like, oh yeah, he wasn't in possession of the guns and mm-hmm. whatnot, but like mm-hmm. racketeering
exactly
still a thing.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Money in his wardrobe, Diddy, guns, drugs. Bro, you're literally yeah. fitting the description of RICO. Then flying women out from different countries to come do these free calls. That's literally sex trafficking. So it's like, by all accounts, he's guilty. But what? This justice system still allows him, right? His yes. fair trial. Thank the you. Same with Tory. He was allowed a fair trial. Witnesses were brought up. Evidence. He has VNs of himself apologizing to Megan for shooting her. And then now, all of a sudden, because he's in a bad predicament. And I understand, guys, you don't want your favorite artist to be stabbed in prison or to be even gone for 10 years.
Yeah.
So now that these things are happening to him, very tragic things, we all want to find excuses and be like, he was never supposed to go in the first place. He wasn't guilty. Here's new evidence. His bodyguard is saying he saw Kelsey. Bro, that could have all been said in the middle of the trial. Yeah. Right. So I'm really disappointed that people not believe in Megan, because it means we're calling Megan a liar. Essentially, if all of us are saying what we're saying about
the
Tory,
victim a liar, and
we're straight up calling
like
the victim a liar.
It's not like she's in such a critical state that she could not speak for herself and say like, okay, but mm-hmm. you are the person who did it, you mm-hmm. know?
Exactly. So, yeah. So for me, it's like, honestly, I'm choosing to believe the victim in this case. What I just said earlier, let's believe victims. I'm believing Megan Thee Stallion. Mm. I'm also praying for Tory Lanez. I don't want anyone to get stabbed 14 times and die. He's serving his time. That's all he had to do was serve his time. But because the prison industrial complex makes people very violent in prison, and prison ends up not being about rehabilitation. It ends up being like a chance for violence and retribution. So this guy stabbing him is just... What's all the things that are wrong with prison? It's like, you don't come out a better person, you come out traumatized even more. Like, if you were shooting women before, imagine now what do you feel about being stabbed 14 times? You feel like you feel anger towards men, towards the system, everything. So it's not helping Tory to be stabbed. So we pray for him to survive the stabbing and to just come out a better man, and also be accountable, like, and be like, okay, I did that, I was drunk. What he said on the VN, there's literally a VN of him saying, I don't know why I would do that, I was so drunk.
Yeah,
have that energy in public and not try to discredit, you know, Megan Thee Stallion's, you know, truth and be like, nah, she lying, she capping. Hip hop can be toxic so much. And
Very.
I had to delete Twitter recently because I was like, no, I know, right? X is just too much. X is just a mess.
Everywhere, so, like literally every social media. I just want to delete everything and disappear. Mm. That's how bad it is. Yeah,
it's really bad in these streets, guys.
But yeah, last up.
Yeah, no, let's do something. Yeah.
More lighthearted.
Yeah, lighthearted. Yeah. Hip hop, what we're here for. More obviously hip hop, but all the other hip hop, just what happens when hip hop artists become human beings and make mistakes and hurt other people. Right now, but we're talking about the craft.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to say this up front. I don't care what anyone thinks.
Oh, my goodness.
Joey Badass fried the entire West Coast. Cooked
in that freestyle.
Yes. He cooked all of the West Coast. In the first freestyle with Red Bull, he cooks them. Initially, he just cooks them.
Mm-hmm.
They all get mad. They start throwing diss tracks. One by one.
Hey.
Daylight threw a diss track. It was fire. Can I say this? The only person who held his own in this battle was Daylight. Shout out to Daylight, yes, TDE as well. But Ray Vaughn was being cooked every week by Joey. And I was like, and then guess who tried to get in as Chike? The man was featured on Kendrick Lamar's banger.
Mm-hmm.
What's the song? What they talking about?
No, it's not Squabble Up.
They told my name. Huh? Peekaboo, yeah.
Yes. I think about them boogers in my chain. Okay.
Peekaboo. Yeah. He peek-a-boo. Killed that.
That's he did.
He bodied that verse. And he's it's an iconic verse, iconic song. Bro, you should know your field, ne?
Know your lane.
Know your lane, exactly. You are here in the you make hits, you make your fun songs, we dance.
Exactly.
Don't drive battle like guy from New York. Joey Bad A. Is
you
it
already
really
said it like three times,
bro. Yeah, Joey Badass. It's his name.
It's his name.
And S is a donkey's, ladies and gentlemen. But right, Joey Badass really dominated the battle in that he approached it as a rapper. Right, instrumentation. He's not trying to make hits. He's literally rapping. Then he drops the hit at the end. He dropped the song called Crash Out at the end, which was like his, I'd say his Not Like Us. Where now he's just, you know, enjoying defeating three of the West's best, unfortunately, Ray Vaughn, S. Chike, and Daylight. But I think for me, what made this battle so fun was that it was not personal. Mm. It was just them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just about the music.
Exactly.
It was just about the music, just about the rhymes, you know, just, I mean, exactly what hip-hop is about, competition.
Exactly.
Healthy competition.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I like about this.
So, yeah, it was really fun to watch just these guys go back and forth. Many songs were dropped. Yeah. I even lost track. But they were just enjoying the battle element of, like, can I outdo you? Can I outrap you? More bars, more punchlines, more reactions.
Respectfully. And not respectfully. Talking about killing people.
Exactly, exactly. For all the love I have for Drake and Kendrick's beef last year. For just how iconic that beef was. It got really dirty. It got really uncomfortable. Like when they started mentioning each other's families and
when
wives
kids
and kids.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys.
Dear Adonis. I was like,
the art. What about the art?
I was like, no ways you're about to write a letter to his son, Kendrick.
Yeah.
So it became very toxic very quickly. But with this, they kept it clean to a point where it's done now. They don't hate each other.
Yeah.
They're all shouting out each other. They're still tweeting each other back and forth. It was really lovely to see. Mm. And I think this is what hip-hop should be about. Just us sharpening our swords, sharpening each other's swords, getting better as artists because it's a craft, right? And unfortunately, some still don't take it seriously as much as they take opera singing or like painting. But it's on that level. It's on the level of like theater performance.
Yeah.
And if Denzel Washington at this, 60-something-year-old age can still grow and be a better actor, so should we feel as rappers that, hey, I'm not there yet. My pen is not at the best place it should be.
But how can I get
there? You know? And battling is one of the ways.
Yes, that's definitely because it puts you under pressure. You need to think on your toes. Like, exactly. You just need to, you know, outdo the doer.
Exactly, exactly.
That's how, you know, hip-hop should be approached.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying, and I think it's been revived, you know.
Definitely.
Kendrick and Drake's beef revived hip-hop already last year, and since then it's just been on the rise. I think hip-hop in the sense that rapping, because hip-hop has never been, unfortunately, or fortunately for us as lovers of the culture, like it's never been second place in the last 10 years or 20 years, right? But I'd say rap took a backseat to trap. Rap took a backseat to like more of the like mainstream like music, or Lil Pump or Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with those rage rock rap kids, but it's like Oyati, or and even like the guy who just dropped his album earlier this year, the legend himself, Playboi Carti.
You know?
Yeah, like he's not for everybody, but he's a break off. He's like he's a subgenre of hip hop.
Mm.
We just needed rap again, guys. We just needed to hear
rap. Words,
exactly. Like not like auto-tune spewed vibes and rage, yes. But yeah.
All of that.
It was really fun hearing the raps. Shout out to Joey Badass, man. Wonderful songs from him. And then he featured a battle rapper on one of the diss tracks by the name of Lux. What's his name? Something Lux, yeah. But we know him as Lux, L-U-X.
Mm.
Fire. He's had a battle, actually, with Daylight. Because Daylight is also a battle rapper.
Yes.
Turned musician. Like, now he makes tracks. But shout out to just all the participants and how their fair play, man. They had sportsmanship.
Mm.
It felt like watching, like, you know, football and seeing your team get thrashed, but they're still humble enough to take off their jerseys and trade their jerseys.
Yeah, charge it to the game.
Yeah.
And just be like, away.
No, you fried me. Congrats. You did that.
Let's go on.
Yeah. And in the middle of the beef, it was so fascinating, too. In the middle of the beef, Daylight dropped the song about Capital Steez. Literally like a song that was dedicated to a mutual friend of his and Joey Badass, Capital Steez, who died unfortunately, I think in 2013 of suicide, just wasn't in the right place mentally. And then he was literally crying for his friend in the song, singing in the middle of a beef. The vulnerability of that was amazing for me. A lot of people didn't like it. They're like, hey, bro, you're killing the vibes. Right now we're beefing. We're battling. Stop singing and making us sad. But I understood it. I was like, hip hop is not where it used to be. It's not toxic masculinity anymore. We don't feel some type of way for men expressing their feelings anymore. We actually like promote that. You know?
It reminds me of the song that like YG dropped recently. Yo, 2004, right?
Yeah, beautiful song about his rape. Yeah, about being touched as a child and how it's affected his way of viewing women for the rest of his life.
Right.
Yeah, that vulnerability.
Yeah, just being comfortable. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't comfortable. I don't know. Let me not even say I know. But like being brave enough to speak up about that, you know, it's really cool to see. And hopefully more people will come out if they have been, you know, in that situation.
For sure.
And just feel more comfortable.
Speaking up. No, like they have power, these artists. Like music is powerful, and our favorite artists can actually inspire us to be better people. So I think YG can change a lot, because also he's from the West and he's a blood, right?
Like you're supposed to be.
Yeah. You know? So now imagine his
not even
bloods,
have feelings.
His friends in the West Coast can now say, oh wow, I can talk about my. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm a thug, I can get into a place where I can be vulnerable and express myself, tell people about my abuse that made me this tough exterior.
Yes.
You know, I can like let that facade go.
Yes.
And just be a human being. So shout out to all these black men, black rap artists like Daylight, like YG, you know, coming forth and sharing their hearts with us. If there's nothing else, I think we've covered it all for the first episode.
It's been a beautiful episode, actually. Yeah. I had so much fun.
Me too.
Nice being back.
Yeah, it is. I hope I get to come back some more. I'll see how I feel, guys. It's just a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in that, you know, I'm also the tech guy right here at Madiba's Podcast, and I enjoy my job as the tech guy. So it's just finding that balance. I think I'll need to find that balance between the tech elements of our wonderful, you know, podcast shows. I always want to make sure we all sound good, and also just being able to express myself, because I love hip hop. Clearly,
absolutely.
I've just yapped about it for more. I don't even know how long we've been going for, but. But I think, man, I'm really grateful to Esmeralda. Shout out to Tato.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Our producer.
Hey, shout out to T.
Yeah, I'm grateful to you guys. I'm grateful to Makungu. Shout out to the rest of the extended cuts team. I think we're flaming the streets.
Yeah, we've been doing good.
As a podcast, we're flaming the streets. You can catch us still as Madiba's Radio while we get, you know, our refurbishments. That's all I'm gonna say. You can check us out on at Madiba's Radio on Instagram, on TikTok,
X,
YouTube, everywhere you find.
You name it, we on it.
Check us out everywhere at Madiba's Radio. And then me personally, you can find me at @THEMBE_X, TembeX, everywhere. Or just Google me, bruv. TembeX. You'll find me music and all music videos. You know I'm steeped in the culture. Esme, where can they find
you? Yeah, you can only catch me on what? Instagram only. Yeah. At @Lady_Esmeralda. ESMERELDA. And that is officially a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's going to be on our site.
It's going to be on Iono. Enjoy.
Listen to it next week. Yeah. We're on it.
Replay this one. No excuses. Rewind us. Replay us. Chopped up the clip. Send it to your friends. Debate. And then, let's get it popping. But shout out to everyone who listened in. We're so grateful for you. This has been The Extended Cut with the Radio Deep Gang. Peace out.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.